to be recorded, but I'm loud. You can hear me. I don't need it. So if you start giving me a signal if I get a little loud, so don't be afraid. I'm used to talking to fourth and fifth graders, so I know how that goes. Like 70 of them, yes. So if I make funny noises or I like to walk around, I don't stand still. Chad, he's always telling me to stay on the stage where the lights are, and I always end up like in the back of the room because I don't stand still. So I like to kind of see the kids, interact with them as I talk, and so I just told him, you're gonna have to live with that. That's just how I am. So I'll start walking, I'll start moving around, but hey, I'm glad you're here. I love this age. It is my favorite age. Preteens, which is a word that I still think some people really don't know what that is. Like even some people I talk to, what's a preteen? So, pre-ter. So yeah. So like the actual, it's another word. Like you know, the official definition they taught post kid is another, or tween. You probably heard that age, but it's basically kind of starts beginning at third grade, really, and then it ends about sixth grade. So you're talking about like 8, 9, 10, 11, 9, 10, 11, 12, that age right before they hit what's called preteen age. And I love it. It's my favorite age, and a lot of people look at me like I'm crazy when I say that because, as you know, all of you, y'all all teach this age, everybody in here, I'm assuming. So, yes, they're a lot of fun. They are a blast to be around. Just let me give you some info on me. I'm still kind of the new guy around here. So some of y'all still don't know me, but actually today marks my one-year anniversary of when I started on staff here. So literally a year today, God said, you're moving to Houston. And I said, really? Are you sure? I'm just being honest. And he said, yes. And so we moved a year ago today. Was my first. And so, of course, it was a Thursday. And, you know, so I got jumped right in Midnight Madness, never seen it before. So I'm like, hey, here you go. We're going to see this thing. And so this is a neat day because it was my first experience to Midnight Madness. But let me kind of give you a little, I'm not going to talk, this is not going to be a long, like, me lecturing you session. That's just not how I roll. I roll with kids. And so kids, I think the rule when I was in school was for every 1 year, in the kid realm, when you get to adults, it changes. For every 1 year, they have about 1 minute attention span. So you get to, so they're nine, they're about 9 minute attention span. That's just kind of a safe rule. And so we'll talk through some of that stuff, but so I don't talk, I'm not used to talking a long time. If I do, I'll mix it up with a video or something else, but thank y'all for being here. Like I said, I love this age. I get a lot of questions. How did you end up doing preteen? Where did that come from? And so I grew up in the church, loved my parents. My dad was a deacon and my mom, Sunday school teacher. And so I grew up in the church, loved going to church. But growing up, I was the kid that was the typical church kid. I grew up having a lot of knowledge. I knew everything. I went to camp. I went to VBS. I did everything. I built up this ego, this Christianese ego, that I kind of had all the answers. And because I had all the answers, I thought that was my ticket. Like, I was good. Like, I knew it all. It was my checklist. Okay, VBS, camp, you know, all this stuff. I was like, I'm good. I'm covered, okay? And every time I heard the gospel was presented, I was kind of like, I'm good. I've not done that, but I'm like, I think I'm good. I'm good. And so when I was 10 years old, which is one reason I love preaching, because this is the age that God really grabbed my attention and opened my eyes, when I was 10 years old, I heard the gospel presented, which wasn't new. It was a guy that actually I had heard before, and so I almost was tuning him out when this happened. But this moment, I remember, was just God began to grab my attention. I'm going to tell you, and I told some of the adults that work here know this story because I tell it to the kids a lot, but I remember I was a big Michael Jordan fan. Like, I loved Michael Jordan growing up. I was a big basketball fan, loved Michael, had posters on my wall, all this stuff, and I knew all about Michael Jordan. And the guy that went to camp knew me real well, and he had been actually praying for me for years. Like, him and my dad were really close, and he was our camp counselor when I went to camp as a 10-year-old. And I remember the pastor of the camp started talking, and I remember just shared the gospel, and usually, I mean, I was like drawing on something or talking to my neighbor, but this was different. This time was different, and I remember the Holy Spirit just grabbed my attention. I was like on the edge of my seat listening to every word this guy said, and I remember he made a comment of roughly about what it means to know a lot about Jesus and then know Jesus personally, and that transition from your head to your heart. And that stuck with me. And I remember, I didn't walk up front, but I remember afterwards, I remember going to this guy's name was Gene Gibson, an older guy in our church, and he was my Sunday school teacher. And I remember going to him and started asking all these questions. And he shared this story with me, and this is really what kind of stuck it with me. He said, he knew I loved Michael Jordan. He said, you know a lot about Michael Jordan. I started sharing all these stats. And he said, have you ever met Michael Jordan? I was like, well, man, that'd be awesome. I'd love to meet Michael Jordan. And so what he was trying to communicate, he's like, you know a lot about Michael Jordan, the facts. But you know what? You don't have a relationship with Michael Jordan. You haven't met Michael Jordan. You don't know him personally. And we began to talk through that, and he began to kind of share with me the gospel in a different way, and it all kind of made sense, and the God's Spirit began to move. And at that moment, I remember on a park bench in the middle of a field, I remember praying and saying, God, I've known a lot about you. I've made my life just having information and checking off all that I've done, but I've never, surrendered my life to you. And so that was kind of where my journey started, and kind of why I love this age. I think God gave me a passion for this age, is because that was the age that I, kind of this 10-year-old age, where kind of I love to see that light bulb come on, that the eyeballs, like, they get it, they grab onto it. But I went to seminary right out of college, went to Stephen F. Austin, my favorite lumberjack over there. Didn't know what I wanted to do after school, had a degree in kinesiology, which is a big word for physical education. My dad still tells his friends that I have a degree in kickball. And so that's what he thought all I did all day was play kickball and ping pong, and which we did do some of that stuff, but I took some hard classes, okay? So I loved sports, I loved kids, I thought I wanted to coach, but I just wanted to get out of school. I didn't want to stay in there 2 years, new student teaching. I was done. School was took forever for me, it felt like it. And so I began really praying. I was kind of working at a job at a church, but was just kind of doing maintenance stuff. I was mowing grass and volunteering with kids. Love kids. Do want to do something like that. My heart to go back to school, full-time ministry. No way. I was done with school. I did not want to go back to school. I was ready to be done. So I kind of fought God. I kind of argued with God a little bit, kind of put him off. And God kept really hammering me every time. God, you want you to go back to school. I want you to do that. I'm full-time ministry. I'm like, all right. So I remember driving down to Fort Worth, Texas, got on the campus, and God just said, this is what I want you to do for the rest of your life. You're gonna spend some time here, and you're gonna do full-time ministry. And so we went into a little dorm room, and at that moment my wife is in the room. So that's my wife, Catherine, in the blue back here. We were dating at that time. We got married, lived in a little 500 square foot seminary housing, base housing apartment. It used to be an old army base. And so, that was kind of my journey. And I remember my second week of school, I needed a job. Obviously I saw a flyer on campus for an internship at a church that I'd never heard of. Didn't really know anything about Fort Worth, knew nobody there, just know this is where God went. But I knew I wanted to work with kids. I knew I needed experience. I knew I needed to make a little bit of money. I knew it wouldn't be a lot, but I knew I needed a little bit. And so I was like, all right. And so I went to this church in Colleyville, Texas, which is, if you know, Grapevine, Colleyville, right over by the airport, DFW area. Interviewed and got the job and basically stayed there for 12 years. Pretty much not the your atypical guy who moves around, but God, I started out just teaching kids worship to kids. We had a little different structure, but I taught kids worship and kind of first through fifth grade, and just God began to grow, and it was just cool, and I just really got passionate to teach and to share God's word and to see kids really grow. And through 4 years, I graduated, and God had some opportunities, but God said, you're staying here for another however long. I was like, all right. And so God began really working my heart, because I started really seeing this dynamic of our fifth graders, which then it was first through fifth grade. They were all together, because, it wasn't a huge church, all together. And so we were seeing, so the fifth graders, really started kind of checking out. Like, we had this room that all the first fifth graders went, and they kind of were done. They were done with the little kids. They were done with being there. They had done it for 5 years. They were kind of done. We just saw a lot of the kids just kind of checking out, not really paying attention, not even really coming. Parents were like, he doesn't want to come and all stuff. And then, so I kind of started being aware of that. And then on the other hand, one of my good friends was in charge of middle school, which was sixth grade and up. And at that church, youth ministry was in a totally different building. Like, you had to cross a parking lot to another building. And so basically when they finished fifth grade, then about next Sunday, they got thrown into another building with a bunch of high schoolers. And so as you can imagine, sticking a sixth grader in a room with a bunch of high schoolers, it's a little overwhelming. And so I began to talk to this guy, and we began to talk. He's like, we got to do something, because, our sixth graders just in a fetal position over in the corner. They don't know what to do, there's got to, And so I really started praying. I remember this is kind of really started praying. I was like, God, what is something we could do? We had just got a new pastor that came in, and I really started praying, and God really began to put on my heart. And I met a guy in the community in our church that had started doing this, what they call preteen ministry, taking out fifth grade from kids, sixth grade from students, and really making a kind of a ministry for, we call preteen, and not very many churches had been doing it at the time. Really was a new thing. It's about 8 or 9 years ago, new thing. But, man, I started seeing that, and then I met this guy who started writing curriculum, and they do these weekends that we started taking our kids to that were just all about this preteen age, just 9, 10, 11-year-old. And so I really began to, like, start that. And so we had an empty room in a building, and it was a college room, but they stopped using it. So we was like, all right, we're going to do this. And so we started meeting with these, doing a service with this age, doing small groups this age. And, like, it was just like, you thought I had just, like, invented the wheel. Like, it was, and I didn't even really do much. This room was boring. It didn't have cool lights, it didn't have games, it didn't anything. It was just this shag carpet in this dirty room that we just, but moving the kids, giving the kids a place of their own, being intentional about, hey, we care about you. We know there's some challenges and we want to really minister to this age. We know there's, which we're going to look at in a second. We know there's, this age is going through lots of change, and we're going to look at it in a second. And so, that was about nine or so years ago, and I remember doing that, and then that ministry flourished, and, God learned a lot through that and did a lot. Love that age, and got to see really a lot of God. And I learned a lot. Like, I spent that few months before that just learning about these kids and how they learn, and, you know, going to seeing other churches and learning things. And so that's kind of how it kind of evolved. I can tell you later if you ever have any more questions, some details about that. But let me kind of look. Let me give you a little picture. I'm going to see if this works. This is my family. This is the one I'm holding. Obviously does not look a lot like me. So this is Zoe. Here I'm holding. She's a blast. She is, I call her a little tornado, the Texas tornado. She is a lot of fun. We adopted her. She was 2 weeks old in the hospital when we got her. We were in the foster system and had a couple of kids before her. And then God said, we really wanted a baby or a young kid. And God said, well, they told us, you're probably not going to get that. There's older kids are in the system. And God, they called us. I was literally in Atlanta, Georgia, in a conference, and they called my wife. We have a little baby. And, of course, I get a call. I think we have a baby coming to our house, which was like, I mean, we had done it before. It wasn't like totally crazy, but it was a few months before we had a kid. And so we officially adopted her about a year later. So she's ours. And then this is Kaysen, who's second grader down there. So that's just me. That's my family. We started a year ago. God said, you're going to Houston. And I talked to Chad. I didn't know Chad, but Chad knew somebody I knew and called me. And God kind of opened the door of something new. I'm going to, do something different, and it's a new season for you. And so he directed us here. And so let me walk through some, just some things about preteens in general. Who are preteens? So let me ask you a question. We're going to do some audience participation because that's how we do. I don't usually lecture a whole lot. So when you think of preteens this age, what do you think of? What are some adjectives? What are some words that you think of when you, this age that you teach, this 4th, 5th, 9th, 10th, 11th? What are some things that you see? I see some laughs, so I know there's, as you, what are some adjectives? What do you see with this age? Explore. Perfect. I love that answer. They want to know how things work, what's going on. Explore, okay? What else? Very emotional. It's not like they still, something small, it's like the greatest thing in the world to happen. Emotional feelings. She's got one of those, so she knows really well how that goes. She's in the middle of it right now. Anybody else have one of these right now? Yes. Drama. Yes. Loud. Very loud. Yes. Yes. They can be very goofy, silly, can be obnoxious at times. Let's just be honest. Okay. But yes, very compassionate. I mean, you think all the people think of preachers, oh, they're just, but, as I've learned just being around them, yes, they huge hearts and just great, great kids. And so, what's that? Literal, yes. And we're kind of going to move, part of that was I want to talk about is they're kind of moving from that concrete to more of kind of the abstract. They're kind of in that, depending on, all kids are different, but this is the age where kids start kind of going from being super concrete. When they get to 5th, 6th grade, they kind of begin to kind of really think abstractly and like differently like that. But one word that I want to sum up, when I think of like developmentally preteens, I think of change. There's a lot of change happening in this age. A lot of physical, mental, emotional, all sorts of stuff happening. And I know that I'm simple, so you're going to see one or a couple words, maybe sentences. So But change, that's one thing I think of. And not just even that, but spiritually. I mean, and we're going to look at, they are taking kind of their first steps to really owning their faith. That's really owning their faith. And instead of just something mom and dad, you know, gives them or tells them, they begin to really start asking questions and really kind of exploring, like you said, really what this concept of faith and more. And they go from just, you know, mom and dad told me this all my life. That's great. I believe it, but hey, I want to know, you know, for myself. Like, I want to really know this faith that I have for myself. And so being to start to really take ownership of their faith. They want to experience, they want to explore, they want to experience things. They want to touch it. They want to feel it. They want to experience what's happening, okay? They want to test it. They want to interact with things on their own. They really want to do that. And so they figure that out in a way. But what's interesting is they need direction, obviously. They need guidance. But we have to support them and allow them to learn for themselves. And so this is a big shift for, you know, first, second, third is allowing, kind of giving freedom to this age, giving freedom to this age. And one thing as I was kind of learning and as I was kind of figuring this out, this age, kind of wrapped my brain around as I was kind of transitioning, kind of starting this, working with this. A friend of mine kind of came with this concept. I brought a bike, but I forgot to bring it up. Is letting go of the bike. Anybody ever taught somebody how to ride a bike? Yes, okay, it's actually back there. So I don't really have, I mean, I just brought it for visual, but my son, who's a second grader, my son's for some reason, he's not really interested. Like, I've tried to get out there and teach him how to ride a bike. I've tried to figure it out. I'm like, this is actually his bike that Dylan is riding so awesomely down the back of the room. I've actually tried to, thanks, Dylan. I've actually tried to get him excited, and he's just not interested. Like, he fell off the first time, and he's done. Like, he didn't want to do that anymore. And so when I think about, I'm just going to sit right here. When I think about this age, a good friend of mine and a guy that I got to meet when I first started really this preteen ministry, he's kind of I call him like the godfather of preteen ministry. That's just my term for it. But he was one of the first guys in the group of guys who began to really look at this as far as how does this work in churches? Like, how do we do this ministry? How do we focus specifically on this changing, crazy, hyper group of kids, and what are they going through? And so he and some other guys kind of got together. This is not my idea, so I'm not taking credit, but I'm just stealing it. So he came with this concept of letting go of the bike, and this concept, which I talked about earlier, of if you've ever let somebody ride a bike, when they're little, you hold on to the back of that thing, and you're helping them. They're figuring out where the pedals are and handlebars, and they're turning and stuff. But what eventually has to happen? You eventually have to do what? You have to let them what? You have to let them figure it out. You have to let them drive. There's a moment to where your hand comes off that bike, and they're figuring it out, and they're working on the balance and stuff, and doing that. So when I think of this concept, I think about this concept of preteen ministry a lot like letting go of a bike, letting go kind of, and a lot, this freaks people out sometimes when I say this. You're like, and I don't mean letting them go and just they're going to go. I mean, you're still in that first stage of you're running next to it, encouraging them on. You're going to stop them if they hit a tree, before they hit a tree. You're kind of in that middle phase where you're right there with them. You're cheering them on. You're encouraging them. You're close enough where you can help them, guide them. But they are figuring it out on their own. They are, you know, asking questions. They're doing those things and figuring it out on their own. So I brought the bike just as an illustration because it's every time I go in my garage, see it, it's just it reminds me of just a great kind of picture of when you think about preteens, they're kind of in this age where we have to begin to kind of let them let go of that bike and begin to kind of let them begin to kind of figure that out. We're still cheering them on. We're still like, go. We're still going to catch them. They're going to mess up. They're going to fall. We're going to pick them up. We're going to encourage them. And some of those things that happen with that. And so as I kind of looked at that, I was encouraged about that. It's a neat deal. But just some things that, like I said, some of these things that I've kind of looked through and worked on, you know, this age, like I said, a lot of fun, a lot of energy. One thing, it means that instead of teaching them by providing the right information, we support them by allowing them to learn for themselves. So instead of just giving them information, feeding them information, which is important, we begin to, which we're going to look at in a second, we begin to ask questions. We begin to get them to learn and to try to figure it out. We kind of let go a little bit instead of just hold on to that bike and we're death grip and we're not going to, they're going to learn this and they're going to hear this and they're going to do that. We're going to like, all right, hey, let's talk about this. Let's ask questions. Let's let you figure this out on your own. And it's kind of that first time where it's kind of finally, all right, it's time to let go of that bike. Instead of just simply telling them how their faith affects their life, we create environments, resources where they can continue to discover it. instead of giving them all the answers, here's all, we're going to give you all this stuff, information, which, like I said, very important at the level. We're going to kind of transition into, allowing them to voice their own questions and even come up with their own answers, okay? And obviously, some of them aren't going to be right, and they're going to, learn, but it's allowing them to make mistakes, allowing them to learn on their own, okay? And so, but letting go of the bite, because when we do, we empower these kids to grow and develop and learn and to question and discover who God has made them to be. But we have to, at some point, let go. We have to, it's like, a 16-year-old kid with a mom still holding on to their bike, even though they're like, Mom, there's got to be a point where we let them own their faith. Because when they get to middle school and high school, one of the reasons I love preaching ministry, one of the great benefits of it is it's a great tool to transition them in to the Hub or student ministry. Because like I said, I was at a church to where one week they were in fifth grade, the next week they were in a totally different building, totally different ministry, totally new people. And so I love, one of the reasons I love this church is because there's things in place that allow kids to really transition well into their mission. So there's not just this, one week you're here, next week you're here. There's intentional, like fifth grade launch is a thing we do here that I love, that we kind of did a similar thing at our last church, but it's a great way to kind of move them along. Our next gen ministry is very intentional about those stepping stones of kids. And so very intentional. And so all those things, I meet with Tony, who's our middle school guy. I talk to him, hey, what are some things? And so I want a kid to go in middle school. I want them to, there's some certain things I want them to know, and I'm ready for them to learn. And so just a great, but the bike is just something as visual. It's a great reminder for me because the bike's fun and you can remember it. It's short, but just when I think of preteens, I always think of this concept of just letting go of the bike and that great picture there. All right, we're going to take a little kind of intermission. When I think about preteens, one of the things I love is they love fun stuff. Like I love getting into their world. I mean, I hang out with them, I ask questions, but I have to, we're going to minister to them, we're going to know them, we have to kind of know, what are they like? What are some conversation starters that we can do? What are some things that they like and do? And so one of the things we do on Wednesday nights, and we actually, it's funny because we did, my last church, we showed these, is there's, I don't know if you've heard of Dude Perfect, but there's a group of guys, there's a group of guys that came out of A&M that basically they started shooting home videos of them making crazy shots bound a basketball goal. Just silly, like off the roof, and like back in the day when Jordan, those commercials with Michael Jordan, off the, Larry Bird, I don't know if you all remember that, Larry Bird, off the top of the roof, and nothing but net. And so, these are popular with everybody. Like, I'm super jealous of these guys because I would love to get paid to, go into and just have fun. And, you'll see it. Like, I'm going to show you this video because I want you to, and not just for entertainment, but it's a lot of fun. But it's basically these guys shooting this video, but they're believers, and they play, the music they play are off the radio, and, they're just, they encourage you. And kids, this grade eats it up. Like, we play it, we have a new one every Wednesday night, and it is like, it's kind of our, we set the stage, and we want them to, we're glad they're here. Anytime I hang out with this grade, we always do something fun right off the bat, because I want them to be engaged right off the bat. And so, one of the things we do is we show a video. And so, I picked this one because there's a lot of preteen things in this video. Kids that like, preteens like bottle flip. If y'all done that, that's the big, cool thing that, this age loves to do. I know y'all are, as adults, we're like, done. Can we please have something different? This is like wearing me out. My wife is like, even my second grader is doing it. And so, because he sees all the preteens doing it. So now he does it. So I want you to see this video. It's just fun. It's a bunch of guys just doing fun, silly stuff. But this is preteen world. This is what they like. And so if I want to encourage you, if anything, it's, be intentional with finding out what your kids like. I'm not saying you have to like, that's what it's all about, but I think there's a level of knowing what your kids are all about and kind of, that's a great way to get in with a kid is that, hey, tell me about your game today. Did you see that cool shot on, I usually do that with the kids here. So I'm going to show this video. It's fun. It's kind of crazy, but it's a great picture of preteens. Y'all check this out. You're going to get a sheet. Oh, wait, I'm supposed to start, aren't I? Let me do that. Sorry. We're going to hand out a sheet. We're going to finish. The second half, we're going to do kind of some fill in the blanks and talk through just a real cool concept that helps. But let me go and start this video, and then we'll give you a sheet as you go. I don't know about the sound, so you might have to listen. Watch it.
is a moment.
Dude Perfect.
We're Dude Perfect. Welcome to Water Bottle Swift Edition. Through the sunroof, into the cup holder.
Yes! That was amazing! That was awesome!
Every spotlight, every sound bite. This is the golden play button flip. It's just a fuel for wanting it more than anybody against us. Thank you.
Hey.
Take a drink and quit. Yeah, you're thirsty. Take a drink and then you're just like, oh, cool, I don't need that anymore.
That's what I'm talking about!
This big bottle truck flip. Let's do this. That wasn't the trick.
All right, let's set this up now, boys. Hey, you want victory donuts?
Don't do that. No donut. Okay. Get me out of this thing. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to one of our favorite pastimes, flip or smash. The rules are simple. Three strikes, you're out. And always remember, it's a gentleman's game. Garrett, start us off. They can say what they want now. Cause we'll be screaming now. We can be heroes. Sometimes your water's just not cold enough. You need to toss it up by the AC. This is the up and over. When the fire takes over, blood is running, heart is pumping, as the battle gets closer. That's ice cold, refreshing water.
Resume play.
This is the super high skinny rail flip. We can be heroes. Yeah! Everything is bigger in Texas. At least that's what they say. Just take this with you to work, or class, or at home.
Look at how good he is.
It's good stuff.
A little job interview advice. Do something that sets you apart from the crowd. Something like this. Start next week.
I got my board and my bottle and my good buddy. This is the Skateboarding Swisher.
They can say what they want. Yay! That's what I'm talking about!
Yes! Yes! Yes!
That's one of the more awkward celebrations I've ever done.
Resume play. I just feel kind of flippy right now. This is 15 in a row.
Oh, wait. Yeah, you're good. All right. So that wasn't the whole video. So I know that if anybody ever seen that before, that's like our kids eat that up. So I wanted to show you that just because that's, you know, they're Aggies. So I know that's, you know, we have a lot of Aggies around here. So they're from Texas. They have this. It's crazy because some of their, if you follow them, they just bought this huge warehouse and it's all like basketball courts. And I mean, it's nuts. Like, I'm super jealous, but that's another issue. And so, no, they're in Dallas. So they all went to A&M. They were all friends, and they're all roommates. And so they started kind of making videos, and then they started. Yes, but people at A&M, yeah, no. So Dude Perfect is the name. If you, they have a YouTube channel. I mean, it's, they have hundreds of them. I mean, they do balls, and I mean, they do very creative stuff. But like I said, they, it's very clean, and they all, they wrote a book recently, and they just kind of shares their story about how they came to know Christ and kind of how they use this as a platform for them. So just a tool that I've that we kind of came up with, that just a great picture of for them. So let me get back to my control here. So just 1 second. Trying something new, new technology here, and it's, as y'all know, technology can be a pain sometimes. Let's see if that works. All right, I think we're good now. All right, so as I prayed through, like, what to share, because, like, an hour just doesn't do justice of, like, leading and understanding like that. That could take weeks, like, of that. So I was trying to, I'd be like, God, what is, you know, I wanted y'all to know kind of preteen isms and kind of what these are. But as I thought about LBS and you as small group leaders and interacting, like, what is something that I've kind of, like I said, I don't necessarily think I'm an expert, but something I've learned and some kind of things I've learned with this group. So I've led small groups, camps, and all sorts of things with that age. And as you know, attention span's very short. They're very, you know, kids are very, they want to move. They don't want to sit still. And so this concept that kind of I've want to share with you, just a great, it's just a great tip, just a great help as you lead your teachers. And so there's this book that I actually read in seminary, and it was called Jesus is the Question is the name of the book. And one of our, I took a children's ministry class, and the guy, she made us read it, and I'm not a huge reader, but obviously when you're in school, you kind of have to read. So this is a great book, but one of the things I remember as I think about this book is it said, in the Gospels alone, Jesus asked 307 questions, just in the Gospels, 307 questions. Now, what's interesting, he was asked directly 183 questions, but he only answered those, three of those, directly. And so what that tells us is Jesus used questions to teach and used questions in a mighty way. And even used questions, have you ever heard the saying, he answered questions with a question, okay? He did that a lot. And so instead of just giving the disciples an answer, he said, all right, well, let's talk about that. What do you think, what does that mean to you, okay? And so here's just and this came out of this book. This is not me, like, you know, doing all the research. So I, you know, took this from this guy. But just an interesting picture in how important questions are. And I'm not talking, when I say questions, I just don't mean, you know, like one-word answers or yes-no questions. Really questions to get kids to really begin to think, letting go of the bike, begin to really allow them to understand and think on their own. So I love filling the blanks, okay? We do, in the loft, we do with third through fifth graders, we have, they have a sheet that looks probably half of the size of that. And they, whether it's me or Hannah or whatever, we do fill in the blanks a lot. It keeps them engaged. I mean, we have kids that they love to fill in blanks, and we have different things. And so I'm staying true to that. So you got a sheet in there that has some blanks, and I'm going to have the answer, so don't worry. You don't have to figure them out on your own. I know it's late. So, but questions were an amazing gift that Jesus gave, amazing tool that Jesus used to help engage and understand. And so the first one says, questions, I'm just going to let you do it. Dylan, you're good. Questions help preteens verbalize what they think. Verbalize is that word. There is, like we talked about, there's a lot of change happening in this age. A lot of firsts, a lot of things that, you know, are happening that are new. And so the questions, throwing out questions at kids, allow them to begin to kind of think, oh, I can actually verbalize kind of how I'm feeling or what I think about this story or what I think about what's happening. And so it's huge to allow them just to kind of give them that ownership to communicate that. They don't always maybe get the right answer, but it allows them, I think, it gives them ownership and allows them to kind of really express how they're feeling, express what's going on. I read this guy that I'm friends with that kind of started this whole thing. He tells a story of a kid that was in his ministry that really was the kid that kind of awkward, didn't really ever say a word, kind of sat in the corner, it was hard to engage. And he began to kind of start asking questions, and he threw out a question that allowed this kid to really think, and allowed this kid to really think about his life, and it really hit him where he was. And after that question, this kid was a totally different kid for the rest of that lesson. He was engaging, he was listening. And so sometimes a question or something that's intentional could really begin to engage and really begin to get kids thinking. The second one says, questions demonstrate that the preteens are a part of the process and that we care about their thoughts. Questions allow them to say, you know, we're not just here feeding you information and we're just gonna, you know, go through this lesson and be done. We really want you to be part of what's going on. This is not just, you know, us teaching a lesson, but allows them to feel like they are part of what's going on. They're not just coming to a show or coming to soak things in. They're really allowing them to really be a part of what's going on. And I think that's huge for this age. They really want to just kind of belong. They want to feel like they have a place. They just want to come and get fed everything. They really want to be able, oh man, he really cares about what I think. He really cares. He's going to take time out of the lesson, you know, to really allow, because this is a hard thing. I mean, this requires you to, this is a risky thing. Allow kids, because you never know what kind of answer you're going to get from preteen, you know. You could throw out a question and you just, it could be something totally not even close, but the point is it allows them, man, this, they really care about what I'm thinking. They really care, taking time to really care what I'm saying. Questions draw preteens into the process. Kind of goes back to the last one, but it allows them it gets them close to what's going on. Instead of just kind of they're back there just chilling and listening to, you know, all this stuff, it really allows them to be part of what's going on. And like I said, that goes a lot with what we talked about earlier, but they can partake in the learning environment. They partake in it. It's not just they're just kind of up in the stands at a football game just watching. They feel like they're in the game. They really feel like they're part of the process, teachers, and they're interacting. And I know with this age, I've taught it, it can be really tough to engage a fifth grader, fourth grader. It can be really hard because, you know, they are half asleep or they, whatever, what's that? They clam up, they're nervous. And so this just allows you to really give them an opportunity to really think for themselves and really begin to share. And like I said, you're going to get answers that are not even close to what you talk about their dog or what they did or whatever, but there will be times where it'll be like, oh, that's, you'll get a nugget of just like, oh, that's awesome, and you'll just be like, it'll just be all worth it. And so just a great picture there of just allowing them to kind of be part of the lesson rather than just, I'm going to go in and sit in the class, I'm going to listen to a teacher, and I'm going to leave, allows them to be kind of more of what's going on. I think asking the right questions, engaging those is huge. The last one here on this part says questions are often more likely to hold a preteen's engagement than a statement. So a statement, information is great, and I think there's always a place for information. But I grew up just being fed information. Like, I grew up just going, sitting down, I didn't ever feel like I was allowed to really, like, you know, be part of the process or, like, you know, think about it for myself. I was just kind of here, this is what you need to believe, this is what's going on. I don't think necessarily we do that here, but I think a lot of times kids just kind of build a faith of just information about what has been kind of shot at them, and they don't really get a chance to like, well, let me think about that. What does that mean? What does that verse mean to me? What is that story of David? What is that God dying on? What does that really mean for me? And just really begin to pause and say, all right, let's really ask questions about that. What does that mean to you? How can we relate that to your school or what you do at home? And so I think engagement happens more when there's questions rather than it's just, I'm going to sit and I'm just going to spew out information the whole time and not allow you to kind of learn and be part of the process. So thinking about that, this was a bit convicting for me. Why is this something we don't do? I mean, y'all might be doing this perfectly. I'm just saying this is something I've been learning. So I'm not saying y'all don't do this at all, but it's just a reminder to me and just kind of a thing. Maybe we need to do this more. Why don't we do this? Okay. Well, one thing, is the first one is we're not really necessarily trained to do that. We're trained to give answers. We are trained to give all the answers. That's kind of what we do as teachers. And kids expect us the answers. We have this lesson, and we just want to give all the answers. Okay, we're not necessarily thinking through that, and so we're not really necessarily trained to do that. We don't really necessarily either know how to do that, or that we should do that, or we're supposed to do that. It's just kind of this built in. I'm a teacher, so I give answers. Okay. And so that's one of the reasons of that. The second one, we're the mindset that the power of leadership comes in answering, not in questioning. I read this statement, I was like, man, that's so true. We think that as a leader, as a teacher, if we just give information, that just has so much power. But when we allow them to answer questions, we feel like, oh, we can't do that. That just takes away all that power. People asking questions could lead us better than just giving answers, okay? One of the guys said, you know, what if our president, what if our world leaders, what if during all this, you know, political stuff, what if they ask more questions than just spewing out all these answers and statements? What if they ask more questions? What if they use that as a way? How much, I think, better and more effective that would be? And so questions just add that great dynamic. Two more. We want to appear that we know stuff. We just want to. We think we're the teachers. They're the kids. We want to look like we're not like slackers, and we know what we're talking about. And so we think I'm just going to have all this information, and I'm just going to give this information because it makes me feel like I know what I'm doing. And that's natural. Like, I can definitely relate to that. We don't want them to know that, you know, we don't want them to know that we don't know something. We feel like that's, we can't let them know that I don't know. And I think as a leader and teacher or whatever I've done, it is totally okay to say, you know what, I don't know the answer to that question, but I will look it up and we'll find that answer. And that's totally okay. And that, when I first started ministry, I thought I had to have all the answers. I thought, man, I don't know. I mean, I remember kids would ask me questions. I began to work with preteens, and they come up with some great questions, questions that I've never even thought of. And I'm like, oh, my gosh. And so I've learned to say, you know what? I don't know the answer to that. But we're going to, and one thing we're going to start incorporating here is we're going to allow kids to really, we're kind of doing, one thing I did in my last church that is we had a question box. And the kids would, each week would come in, and they would, if they had a question, a spiritual question, they would write it down, and we would spend a few minutes just addressing that question. And allows them to feel like they have part of the lesson. Their input is valuable, and we took time out of our lesson to allow them to do that. And so there's different things. We're going to do something on Sunday mornings, I think in March or April, where we're going to allow them to decide what we teach for a month. We do series for a month, and we're going to allow them to kind of, we're going to do like a kids' choice series, and they're going to come up with some topics and some questions that they want to know about, and we're going to spend 4 weeks just teaching on those things. And so that's just part of kind of allowing them, letting go of that bike, and allowing them to kind of learn some of those things. The last one's kind of simple. It's just nothing. We're in a hurry. Like, we're getting in a hurry. Questions take time. Questions take creativity. Questions take time out of a lesson to have a kid start discussion. But I think it's so valuable that we make time in our lessons, make time in our to provide questions, to let kids really think. What does this mean for me as a fourth grader? What does this mean to me as I'm going through puberty or whatever is happening with this kid? What does this mean for me? And so we get in a hurry. I know I'm one of the worst at this. I mean, when I'm preparing lessons or whatever, sometimes I'll come up with these ideas, and I'll get to the end. I'm like, man, there's so much information here, and I just totally missed out on the opportunity to allow them to engage and what's going on. And so these are just some encouragements to you as well as just some challenges as we think. Just this is small and simple, but I think this is something that when I begin to see this and begin to incorporate this more and more, man, I tell you what, I begin to see some eyeballs open, like just, and some great conversations start, some great kids begin to really grasp just great truths about the gospel, truths about stories, more than just, you know, I've heard that story over and over, but like, let's really look at what God wants to teach about that story. And so just been a real encouragement to me. I think we have about 10 minutes. Just kind of wrap up, just kind of thoughts, and I'll let you, if you have any questions or whatever, I'll let you kind of, I know this was super short, and if we had like hours, I would spend hours talking about this because I love it, but we don't have that. So, but like I said, one thing I want to start doing more is just really being encouragement to you, and like, I want to come in your classes, and especially if you're Loop, I can't come if you're not the Loop, but I want to be, that would be really hard. If I could, I would, but I've been kind of starting to do that a little bit, but I mainly do kids worship, so we have all the large group of kids, and I do it both hours. But I want to be a resource for you. I want to be. I mean, I'll give you my card and give my email if you have questions. You're trying to come up with a lesson. You need something like something just to help drive a point home or whatever. I've got some teachers that do that now. But I just want you to know that I'm not just the guy that teaches in kids worship or on Wednesday nights. But I love the small. I think small group is really where discipleship happens. I think that's really where kids begin to really grasp onto those truths, and so I'm a huge fan of what you guys do, and I want to be more a part of that. I want to come in and encourage you guys. So if you ever have questions or you need to know something, if I don't know the answer, I will tell you I don't know, and I will figure it out. But just some final thoughts. Just the big word that I, when I think about this, is engaging. I'm always, I meet with Hannah a lot, and I plan lessons for these kids for large group time, even small group time, and I'm always thinking that word engage. I'm always thinking about what can we do to engage. And I, like I said, that whole rule of for every year of life, it's an hour of attention span. And so I don't speak for long periods of time. I mean, something's going and I just talked to these kids for 20 minutes. I'm like, but you know, one thing I've learned is mixing things up with these kids. Like, you know, videos aren't bad. I mean, if you can find something that really keeping a kid on the feet and like allowing them, that's really helpful. It really helps to kind of keep their attention. Like I said, we always start with something high energy, a game or something, because when they walk in the door, I don't want them to just sit and tune out, because if they begin to tune out off the bat, I probably lost them for the whole time. So we try to do something pretty quick off the bat. We do a group game where everybody gets to play, and so it allows kids to really kind of feel like they can be a part of what's going on. And I throw, we'll do a couple of minutes, and I'll throw, oh, y'all check this out. As part of the lesson, we'll do skits, we'll do games and different stuff. And so just anything I can do, I'm always thinking that engaging, and I don't always do this well. Like I said, I still kind of fall back to the whole teaching a lesesson, and I kind of get to preach in, and I really want them, you know, and I have to kind of remind myself that I'll start seeing the glazed over look, as y'all all seen, and the kids getting fidgety and stuff. And so I'm learning this too, and that I kind of have to break the mold. But it requires creativity, which requires time and effort, and it's hard. But it's worth it, and I think it's the benefits are huge. And so, we all preach in kids ministry. We want the best 2 hours of a kid's week, and so that's kind of what drives. Kind of what we do. We want when they first walk in and when they leave, we want it to be a time where they were engaged and they learned and they grew and they felt like we always give them in the kids worship. We have on our take home sheet. There's a thing at the mom called an action box that I kind of came up with a few months ago. And basically, it's kind of a takeaway. What's your takeaway today? What are you gonna from what you've learned from what we've talked about this lesson or whatever? What are you gonna do about that? What is something that you're gonna take with you? What's an action step that you're going to take with you? And so that's just a small thing that I've done, and just a way for them to kind of transfer, because it's hard when you go to Sunday, as soon as they leave, they're done, they've forgotten the lesson, they're done with that. And so we've really tried hard with Family Connect and some of those things that really give parents some tools, and our take-home sheet's a great just tool for parents, because it kind of sees what we studied and what the verse was and what they talked about, and we're really encouraging parents to ask questions, some of those questions even as parents to do that. And so, anyways, like I said, I could talk about this for a long time. And so, I know we have stuff to do, but, any questions, anything, just thoughts that you had, anything you're like, oh, that's great. Or, hey, they'll do this. Like I said, I don't have all the answers, but, I feel like just experience and kind of just the time I've spent with this age, I really, I love it. I don't want to do anything else. Like some people want to eventually do other stuff, but now this is, I become a big kid. Like I'm 37, and I love to run around and get sweaty. And I mean, I don't, that whole I don't want to grow up. I don't. I just love hanging out this age, and it keeps me young, I guess. Hopefully, at some point, but it's just a lot of fun. So, like I said, I'm a resource. Yes. Well, I think just, like I said, I'll give you some, just trying to find out what they like, those conversations, what are you into, even just if they play sports, or what's going on, something you can connect. Oh, and it's hard, because I forget, there's a lot of kids, I get it, and it's hard, but even just remember, oh, that kid, he had a basketball game last week, I'll remember that. Hey, how'd you do on your basketball game? Or just remembering things to connect, other than just kind of outside the building. Getting to know kids, kind of what they like to do, hobbies, things they like to do, and just maybe I take notes. I'll pull up my phone and put a note and say, Zachary, he loves to play video games or whatever, something that kind of reminds me. And so next time I try to remember, hey, Zach, and so it's just a connection point, because this age, it's that whole thing. What's it? I'm going blank. They don't know how much you know until they know how much you care, whatever. What's that saying? I'm drawing a blank. I always get it backwards. Anyway, so it's the whole thing of really taking the time. Sorry, I'm like, I always botch that saying, but it is late, so even for me, which is pretty bad. But getting in the world, finding out, what they like to do, and it doesn't have to be like you have to, drench yourself in that. I do probably more than anybody just because that's my job, but just finding some little things that you can connect with, some little things that sports and dance and things they like to do, that goes a long way. I mean, I try to go to games. I know some of y'all can't do, but I try to go to games and try to encourage kids, and just kind of, especially those kids that kind of the kids that kind of sitting by themselves and don't say a lot, try to kind of go sit and kind of find some kind of connection with them somewhere, a sport or something. And so this is a great, that perfect thing. That's a connection point for a lot of them, and that's just something they can relate to and kind of speaks their language. So, yes.
I think
Yeah, it's just a connection. It's just some sort of, it really speaks volumes to them, like, oh, he really cares about what I care about. Like, he really cares about me as a person. He's just not just here giving me a lesson. He really cares about me. And that will go a long ways into them really buying into listening to you and really hearing what you say more than you're just some old guy up on the stage that gives me a lesson every week. You know, it goes beyond that. So, do they know how much you care?
Yes.
There it came. Yes. So that's, you know, it's a saying, but yeah, thank you. I'm always counting 70 to come rescue me. All right. But like I said, I need to make sure you guys, I don't want to get, it's, I think it's about 5 minutes. So like I said, anything you need at all. Did you have, yes. Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You begin to think the way they think, and you're just like, yes. Yes. And I know this is not like questions. I was like, well, that's what we do. But it's thinking more differently than who built the ark. You know, it's just one word, yes or no questions. It's, hey, let's stop. And that's always hard because, you know, it's always time and stuff. But let's stop and really, what is this, you know, really dissecting? Because that's really what studying God's word really does. Yeah, exactly. And so incorporating that, and I tell you what, it's amazing what some of the things, that'll change. You know, it's like when I came in and asked y'all a question off the bat, a question always, it grabs attention. I'm in this. I'm part of this. That's not just he's going to lecture me for an hour. It's really, like I said, it draws you into the process. It lets you go. So, well, thank y'all for just coming tonight. I know it's late and it's a Friday night, but like I said, if you need anything at all, I'm here. If I'll give you my email or you can text me yourself and whatever you need.